Arise, it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Monday, the 13th of May, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Let's ask for her help today in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O Most Holy Virgin Mary, you came to Fatima to reveal the graces that come from praying the Holy Rosary to three little shepherd children. Inspire us with a sincere love of this devotion, so that like those shepherd children, the Rosary will not be a burdensome task but a life-giving prayer. May our prayers and meditations on the mysteries of our redemption bring us closer to your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, the miracles, prophecies, and prayers that your mother brought to us at Fatima amaze the whole world. We are certain of her closeness to you. We ask through the intercession of Our Lady of Fatima that you hear and answer our prayers. Amen. A better way to start a Monday morning, the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell's got news. Paul Lachman at the controls. And up this hour, we'll take a look at this week in Catholic history with Kevin Schmiesing. And he'll talk about, among other things, the birth of Catholic filmmaker Frank Capra. Father Jeffrey Kirby has got a new book called... he's got a new book that is about abandonment to divine providence. But he's going to... talk a little bit more about that concept, about doing our part and leaving the rest to God. It sounds simple. It is actually very difficult. Paul Thigpen, author of The Biblical Names of Jesus, will look at Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Of course, yesterday was Good Shepherd Sunday, among other things. And we'll talk to Marlon De La Torre, who is online at knowingisdoing.org. He's going to talk about what your children should know about their Catholic faith before you send them out into the world. So... you know, it's one thing to trust your CCD teacher in your parish to teach your kids, but what's your end of the deal as a parent? Right now, it's 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. Six people, including a priest, have been killed in Burkina Faso when a group of gunmen burned down a Catholic church during Mass yesterday. The Catholic news agency cites reports that the unidentified gunmen burst into the church just as Mass began in the town of Dablo. France 24 reported that a security source has said there were upwards of 20 to 30 armed men who were involved in the attack. Vatican News is reporting that their target was the priest who was in charge of interreligious dialogue in the area. Pope Francis has expressed his sorrow over the attack and has prayed for all the affected. Meanwhile, the Catholic Church in Sri Lanka has celebrated Mass for the first time since the deadly suicide bombings on Easter Sunday. Soldiers stood guard while troops patrolled the streets leading to churches yesterday. Massgoers faced body searches and had to provide identity cards to get into the church. Church volunteers were asked to identify parishioners who were told not to bring any baggage. They were also asked to point out anyone they felt was suspicious. Pope Francis yesterday ordained 19 men to the priesthood, telling them in his homily to always keep in mind the example of the Good Shepherd who came not to be served, but to serve and to seek out and rescue those who were lost. From Vatican Radio, Lydia O'Kane has more.
Pope Francis made it clear that what they were entering into was not a cultural association or a trade union. You will be part of the ministry of Christ, he said.
Voi sarete partecipe del ministero di Cristo.
On this World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, Pope Francis said they should not tire of being merciful. Focusing his thoughts on the sacrament of penance, the Pope urged the 19 men to be as merciful as the Father, as Jesus was merciful to us, to all of us. The Pope also encouraged them to be attentive in the celebration of the Eucharist.
Stati attenti nella celebrazione dell'Eucaristia.
The Lord wanted to save us freely. He himself told us, give for free what you have received for free. The celebration of the Eucharist, the Pontiff underlined, is the culmination of the Lord's giving freely. Please don't soil it with petty interests. The priest, Pope Francis added, should be close to God in prayer, to the bishop, to the presbytery, to the other priests, and to the people of God. Let what you teach be nourishment for the people of God, Pope Francis said. Let the holiness of your lives be a delightful fragrance to Christ's faithful. You will be men of prayer, men of sacrifice, so that by word and example you may build the house of God, which is the church. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is canceling a trip to Moscow this week. Pompeo called off a stop Monday and will instead meet European leaders in Brussels to discuss Iran and other issues. The meeting comes amid increased tensions between the U.S. and Iran and as European leaders look to preserve the nuclear deal. After the Brussels talks, Pompeo will continue to Sochi, Russia on Tuesday. There he will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov as planned. President Trump is sticking by his plan to slap more tariffs on Chinese goods. On Twitter, the president said the U.S. will be making tens of billions of dollars from tariffs. He said consumers also have the option of getting goods usually imported from China from an American producer or another country that isn't affected by the tariffs. Tariffs on Chinese goods increased last week after trade talks with China fell apart. Actress Felicity Huffman is expected to plead guilty for her role in the college admissions scandal. Dean Muccio has more.
Huffman will appear in a Boston federal court later today after admitting to paying $15,000 so her daughter would get more time on an SAT and for her daughter's wrong answers to be corrected. She's one of over a dozen other high-profile figures who paid large amounts of money to help their children get into prestigious colleges. Huffman, who starred in ABC's Desperate Housewives, agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud last month. Dean Muccio, NBC News Radio.
And the top 10 most popular male and female baby names of 2018 have been revealed. Phil Hewlett has the list.
On Friday, the Social Security Administration announced the list. The top 10 most popular boy names are Liam, Noah, William, James, Oliver, Benjamin, Elijah, Lucas, Mason, and Logan. For girls, it's Emma, Olivia, Ava, Isabella, Sophia, Charlotte, Mia, Amelia, Harper, and Evelyn. Lucas is a new name for the boys, bouncing Jacob off the list, and Harper is a new name for the girls, knocking out Abigail. Phil Hewlett, NBC News Radio.
Any thoughts, Matt?
18 years from now, all those people will be graduating and be like, huh.
I have to say this is particularly interesting to me as, you know, Will and I have a child to name in a couple of months here. And
well, there's a William on there.
Yeah, William and Liam.
And Liam.
I think it's interesting that Liam is separate from William because it's traditionally
that is a little weird.
A nickname for William. But I guess a lot of people are naming their child.
Be like if Margaret and Peggy were two separate names or something. Like
right,
that.
Exactly. And so I have to say, not that Will and I have done a lot of discussing of names at this point, but I don't think any of those names are on our
on
list.
On your list?
Not on my list. Oliver was a name that I had kind of wanted to name Tommy.
I didn't know Oliver was like a thing. I got a nephew named Oliver.
I love that name. I think it's a great name, especially when you think about Oliver Plunkett. You know that story?
Go.
Oh, man. He's incredible.
You can name him Oliver Plunkett
Egan,
and then you can go by his middle name.
Quite
the
Irish name.
You could call him Plunky.
Oh, neat idea, Matt. Thank God you're not my husband.
It's for a number of reasons, Anna Mitchell. It's 8 minutes past the hour. It is time to take a look at This Week in Catholic History with Kevin Schmiesing from the Acton Institute in the Athenaeum of Ohio. Kevin, good morning.
Hey, Matt, good morning.
So let's talk about the history of the founding of the Passionists.
The Congregation of the Passion of Jesus Christ, their formal title, more commonly known as the Passionists, and they gained papal approval this week in 1741. The Passionists were founded by St. Paul of the Cross, who lived in the 1700s in northern Italy. He was already personally devoted to prayer, charitable works, and teaching when he had the idea or the inspiration of founding a religious congregation that would be devoted to the cross, to our Lord's Passion. A small group of men gathered around him, including his own younger brother. He wrote a rule for them in 1720, but he had no official approval yet from the bishop or from the pope. So he visited Rome in 1725. He got an audience with Benedict XIII, who gave him verbal encouragement, but still no formal approval. He and his brother began working in a hospital in Rome. They were ordained priests there in Rome in 1727, and at that point they also began preaching parish missions, which has remained an important part of the apostolate of the Passionists ever since. The following pope, Benedict XV, finally granted the approval of the rule. It was this week, May 15, 1741. In June, Paul and five companions took vows as the first members of the Passionist congregation. They would receive final papal approval from Clement XIV in 1769. In the meantime, the Passionists had spread throughout the nation of Italy. St. Paul of the Cross died in 1775, and then in the 19th century, the Passionists began spreading into the English-speaking world as well, including the United States. They came here in the 1850s. They continue to staff parishes and retreat centers across this country. There are something over 2,000 Passionists around the world today. The Congregation of the Passion of Jesus Christ had their rule approved by the Pope this week in 1741.
And it's important to note that while this person is not necessarily a maker of Catholic films in the strictest sense, a Catholic filmmaker we remember today.
Yeah, right. One of the most famous figures in the American film industry in the 20th century. But this story also begins in Italy. Francesco Capra was born May 18, 1897. In Sicily. He was the youngest of seven children, like everyone else in his family and in his village, and probably on the island of Sicily, Frank Capra was a Catholic. In 1903, his family moved to the United States. They settled in Los Angeles, which was not yet, but would soon become, the capital of the world's motion picture industry. He attended the California Institute of Technology. He spent some time in the Army, worked a number of odd jobs, directed a documentary film even, but his career wasn't really going anywhere. He got a low-level job at a studio in Hollywood, and then he got a job at another studio, Columbia Pictures, which was a new business, not famous yet, but would be soon. He worked his way up in Columbia Pictures, and in 1934, he directed the film It Happened One Night. That put him on the map. It starred Claudette Colbert and Clark Gable, and it won five Academy Awards. He had a number of other big movies in the 1930s, including Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. He was hired by the United States government to make the Why We Fight series during World War II, which generated support for the war effort in the United States. But immediately after the war, his career began to decline. Now, it was 1946 that he made It's a Wonderful Life, and it did win him an Oscar for director, but it wasn't a commercial success, and it wouldn't be really popular, gained the popularity it has now, until decades later. That's a movie, Matt, that I grew up with. My siblings and I used to quote it all the time. In fact, just, I don't know, maybe last year, I fired off a quote from It's a Wonderful Life, and none of my kids knew what I was talking about, and I realized that we haven't watched that in a number of years. So we sat down and watched it again as a family, and I was enamored once again, as I had been as a kid. Frank Capra described himself a Christmas Catholic as when he was an early adult. He was divorced and remarried in the 1930s, but he grew more serious about his faith later. At one point he wrote, "My films must let every man, woman, and child know that God loves them." His films have been described as vehicles for a profoundly Christian morality and even a Catholic vision of the universe. I would agree with that assessment. Frank Capra died in 1991 at the age of 94. His birthday was this week, May 18, 1897.
A great look at some important points in Catholic history. Thanks so much, Kevin Schmiesing. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, at 14 minutes past the hour, let's check on weather for the nation. The eastern seaboard will have a soggy day from Richmond, Virginia, all the way up to Boston. The heaviest rain will push through the mid-Atlantic during the middle of the day and the New York City metro area early this evening. West of I-95, it'll be cloudy and damp, with certain areas seeing light rain. A cold front will trigger thunderstorms in northern and central Florida today. Dangerous afternoon storms are possible in West Texas. Storms could develop early in the day and produce hail and damaging winds as they move farther east. Other than a few showers skirting the northern plains and northern Rockies, the remainder of the east, plains, and west will be largely quiet today. It is the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be back with headlines from Anna Mitchell right after this. It's 14 minutes past the hour.
I'm Matt Swain, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. And services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels. Online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Well, I don't think we're like the typical college students because we really hang out at our campus ministry and everything. It's amazing about how much more connected you feel. We share really cool articles from actually you guys, EWTN, and like what you were saying about evangelization. So that's really nice.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
16 past. Here's Anna with headlines.
Six people, including a priest, have been killed in Burkina Faso when a group of gunmen burned down a Catholic church during Mass yesterday. The Catholic Church in Sri Lanka celebrated Mass for the first time yesterday since the deadly suicide bombings on Easter Sunday. And Pope Francis has authorized pilgrimages to Medjugorje, but has said the authenticity of the supposed apparitions still needs more study.
Wow. I feel like that's what every pope has said during the entire
amazing
history
huh?
of Medjugorje.
Indeed. Indeed.
Okay, so I just sent you something.
Yeah,
there's
just saw this.
A pretty cool thread that went on Twitter over the weekend by Brother Casey Cole, a Franciscan, who's soon to be Father Casey Cole, and he wrote, "Hey, priests of Twitter, I'm going to be ordained a priest soon. I feel grossly unprepared to offer effective counsel in the sacrament of confession. Any resources online or book that you can recommend?" And then... like
then the
dozens and
came.
Dozens of priests started pouring in ideas. And this is just a really cool thread, I thought, with some cool advice from priests who've been, you know, ordained a year. Some of them have ordained decades with tips for soon to be Father Casey. So like Father Aquinas Gilbo writes, you know, published resources can be helpful, but nothing prepares you to hear confessions quite like going to confession regularly. there are several, actually. Father Chip Hines wrote the same thing. But there were others along the way who talked about some books. One of the ones that gets recommended a lot, I guess, for confessors is Father Michael Geisler's Guidebook for Confessors.
Yeah, I didn't know that this book existed until looking through this Twitter.
I think it's more of an internal text. It's
yeah,
not
I would
the kind of thing that
so.
A lay person might be like, oh, I'll read this.
Not hanging out in your local Catholic bookstore prominently displayed for anybody to pick up and use, I guess.
I like Father Michael Trail, who's, I think, in Chicago, who writes, think of the worst confession experiences you've ever had and do the exact opposite.
That's true. You know, I've actually heard, and I don't know if, I mean, obviously I'm not a Catholic priest, but I've heard from priests who say, look, for the first couple of weeks at least, don't worry about offering counsel. Just work on memorizing the absolution prayer. I saw one priest on here that that said, make sure you have that thing memorized right away. He said his first confession was walking down the hallway with someone, like right after he was ordained.
Yeah, you don't have the book in the hand.
Yeah, you don't have a card in your hand or anything like that to help you. And he says, I heard my first confession walking between the church and the parish hall after my ordination. It will come fast. The faithful will need you. Trust in the power of the words and of Christ who gives them life. Because, I mean, all in all, that is the most important part in the end, is it not? Not the counsel that the priest can give. And don't get me wrong, because I think the the short little spiritual direction that you
some of those are very helpful.
Can be incredibly helpful, but let's not forget that the most important part of the sacrament of confession is that prayer of absolution when Father says, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All the counsel in the world doesn't absolve you of your sins, but that prayer does. So that is, in my opinion, the most important thing to know.
Well, I retweeted it on my Twitter feed, at Matt Swaim.
So, Priest, we'd love to hear from you.
We'd love to hear from you, or you can just hit us with a note, sunrisemorningshow.com, some things that have helped you to understand how to be a good confessor. I mean, obviously, if you hear confessions, the grace is getting poured out. Mm-hmm. So we consider that a pretty good confession. But you know how some confessions,
indeed,
you're just like, ah, nailed it.
Indeed. It's true. It is true.
Anyway, sonrisemorningshow.com. We would love to hear from you. Coming up next, Father Jeffrey Kirby on abandonment to divine providence. It's 21 past. Now that the warmer months are upon us, perhaps you're in the market for gardening tools, yard supplies, or maybe even looking ahead for your summer reading choices.
No matter what you're in the market to buy, if you are planning on making a purchase at Amazon, don't forget to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
By doing so, without spending an extra cent, you're earning us a commission on your purchase price, which helps support our work on the Sunrise Morning Show.
Again, no matter what you plan to buy, don't forget, go to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
I'm Father Timothy Scheer, and these are Biblical Impressions. There are people in the Bible whose names we never learn, but their lives are perfect examples of faith. This is true for a father simply called the royal official. This man comes to Jesus with an urgent request. His son lies sick at home near the point of death. The father rushes off to Cana, some 12 miles from their home in Capernaum by the sea. All the way, he was determined to bring Jesus with him back to his son's bedside in Capernaum, where Jesus would place his hands on the child and heal him. But something truly amazing happens. He comes back without Jesus by his side. And on the way, his servants catch up with him and announce his son is cured. He asked when his son made a turn for the better, and they said, at the hour that Jesus had announced his son would live. The father believes simply on the basis of the word Jesus spoke. We have much to learn from this official and his example of faith. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Scheer.
Joining us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Jeffrey Kirby. We're starting a series today on his book, Be Not Troubled, a 6-day personal retreat based on the spiritual classic, Abandonment to Divine Providence. Father, welcome back.
Hello, Anna. Good morning.
So as we dive into the message of abandonment to divine providence on this first day of the 6-day retreat that you have in the book, Father Cassode writes that in any time of uncertainty or distress, the message of divine providence is a contradiction. What does he mean by that? Why a contradiction?
Yes, because so oftentimes in situations where we don't know and there is anxiety and distress, if we're not careful, we let those darker spirits, if we let them take over. But then they convince us that, you know, everything's an accident, we're a victim, there's no control in the situation, there's no plan. And in spite of that, in contradiction to that, when divine providence says, you know, yes, this is difficult, this is hard, or this is uncertain, but there is a plan, it is good, and in this moment, there is a call to surrender to this divine providence. So, you know, all the other things we want to do, you know, in terms of, getting this uncertainty or restlessness or, sometimes even despair, divine providence calls us to the exact opposite, to trust, to surrender, to believe, to know that whatever is happening, there is a greater good that will come about.
Yeah, let's talk about for a second those poor responses that he discusses in the book that we could have in times of distress. What are they and why are they less than ideal when it comes to our response to anxiety?
Yeah, so, you know, imagine a situation where, you know, financial matters aren't coming together, or, you know, there's a very difficult health diagnosis, or difficulties in a marriage, or, you know, all the things that anyone or any relationship can go through. And in those moments, there is, like, our fallenness wants to begin to think, well, there's no purpose to this, there's no meaning to this. And Father De Casado say, look, we believe in a loving God, a God who is, we are told, knows the number of hairs on our head. And he would say, you know, in contradiction to those other things, which anyone feels, even a believer can feel. I mean, you know, we all have the same fallenness or the same emotional response in our culture. And he would say, you know, there is this other option, you know, which is, you know, the option of living by the faith we have. You know, I think it's beautiful that, you know, De Casado, in many respects, echoing the teachings of Jesus, that, you know, we can trust God. And as St. Paul would also say, that all this will end for good for those who love God. Mm. So it can be difficult, overwhelming. You know, the unbeliever could find it laughable. But in those difficult situations, we turn and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Yes. I know this is a plan. I know that you love me.
Yeah, we should be responding with submission and action, as Father says. And I mean, as we said earlier, this sounds contradictory, the idea of submission paired with action. But how do they work together in abandoning ourselves to divine providence?
Yes, so De Casado was one of the early Jesuits, and St. Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuits, you know, he had a famous expression, which is paraphrased, pray as if all things depend on God, and work as if all things depend on you. And as you're saying, Anna, that can sound contradictory, but actually in the Christian way of life, there's actually a beautiful harmony there. That while we surrender to God and say, Lord, I know you have a plan, I know this ends well, I believe, but we also understand that we have a part in that plan, that we are not passive spectators. That we ourselves can be instruments of providence in our own lives or even in the lives of others. And so while, yes, we say, Lord, I surrender to all things, we also are committed as ourselves being instruments of providence to work. De Casado was innovative in his day because of his emphasis on the role and place of vocation. That's always been in our Christian teachings, but it was eclipsed for a long time. The belief that, well, you know, only priests and religious are called the holy minister, really only they have a vocation. De Casado retrieved the broader notion, no, every Christian has a vocation, and it's precisely by finding our vocation, our place in the kingdom of God, that we know exactly what's being asked of us. And he says, to the degree that we do that well, then God's providence can be seen and become even more manifested.
On a practical point, you write here, as you're preparing yourself for the day, ask God to help you see his providence in your life today. Pause during an activity or take a brief walk in the middle of the day and reflect on what has already happened and what is still to come. Ask yourself, what is God's message for this day? And then as you prepare for bed, examine your day and note where you noticed God's presence and thank him for those moments and ask for the graces to see him again tomorrow. Some beautiful points from Father Jeffrey Kirby. The book is Be Not Troubled. Father, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna. Take care.
You too. Thank you so much, Father. And of course, you can find the book linked at sonrisemorningshow.com. Just click on the show notes for today. Up after the news, Paul Thigpen will join us to reflect on the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Of course, we celebrated Good Shepherd Sunday yesterday, so an appropriate topic to pick up on this Monday morning, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Coming up on half past the hour now, it's time for news. Pope Francis has offered his prayers for all those affected by the deadly attack on a Catholic church during Mass yesterday in Dabla, Burkina Faso. Vatican News cites eyewitnesses who said the priest, Father Simeon Yampo, was the target of some 20 to 30 armed men who surrounded and then stormed the church. Father Yampo was apparently in charge of interreligious dialogue in the area. Six people, including the priest, were killed when the attackers burned down the church. A spokesman for the Holy See press office tweeted, quote, "The Holy Father has learned with sorrow about the news of the attack on the church in Dablo, Burkina Faso. He prays for the victims, for their families, and for the entire Christian community in the country," end quote. The Catholic Church in Sri Lanka celebrated Mass for the first time yesterday since the deadly suicide bombings on Easter Sunday. Soldiers stood guard while troops patrolled the streets leading to churches yesterday. Worshippers also faced body searches and had to provide identity cards to get into the churches. Church volunteers were asked to identify parishioners who were told not to bring baggage. They were also asked to point out anyone they felt was suspicious. The Easter Sunday bombings killed more than 250 people. Pope Francis yesterday ordained 19 men to the priesthood, telling them in his homily to always keep in mind the example of the Good Shepherd who came not to be served, but to serve and to seek out and rescue those who were lost. From Vatican Radio, Lydia O'Kane reports.
Pope Francis made it clear that what they were entering into was not a cultural association or a trade union. "You will be part of the ministry of Christ," he said.
Voi sarete partecipe del ministero di Cristo.
On this World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, Pope Francis said they should not tire of being merciful. Focusing his thoughts on the sacrament of penance, the Pope urged the 19 men to be as merciful as the Father, as Jesus was merciful to us, to all of us. The Pope also encouraged them to be attentive in the celebration of the Eucharist.
Stati attenti nella celebrazione dell'Eucaristia.
The Lord wanted to save us freely. He himself told us, "Give for free what you have received for free." The celebration of the Eucharist, the Pontiff underlined, is the culmination of the Lord's giving freely. Please don't soil it with petty interests. The priest, Pope Francis added, should be close to God in prayer, to the bishop, to the presbytery, to the other priests, and to the people of God. "Let what you teach be nourishment for the people of God," Pope Francis said. "Let the holiness of your lives be a delightful fragrance to Christ's faithful. You will be men of prayer, men of sacrifice, so that by word and example you may build the house of God, which is the church." I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Trade negotiations with China will likely continue when President Trump and President Xi Jinping attend next month's G20 meeting. Mark Mayfield reports.
The chances that President Trump and President Xi will get together at that meeting are probably pretty good.
On Fox News Sunday, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said China has not come far enough on trade negotiations. Kudlow said the stall came 2 weeks ago when top Beijing officials reportedly backtracked on previous agreements with the White House. On Friday, Trump raised tariffs from 10% to 25% on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is canceling a trip to Moscow this week. Pompeo called off a stop Monday and will instead meet European leaders in Brussels to discuss Iran and other issues. After the Brussels talks, Pompeo will continue to Sochi, Russia on Tuesday. There he will meet President Vladimir Putin and Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov as planned. The two students killed in a shooting at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte last month have been given degrees in memoriam. The families of Riley Howell and Reed Parlier both accepted the degrees for their sons on Saturday. Survivor Emily Haupt received her degree as well. The spring commencement comes after a gunman opened fire in a classroom on the campus on April 30th, killing Howell and Parlier and injuring Haupt and three others. The last victim of the shooting at Highlands Ranch, Colorado school is out of the hospital. Littleton Adventist Hospital announced Sunday that all five patients from the shooting at the STEM school last Tuesday have been released. Pope Francis has authorized pilgrimages to Medjugorje while remaining uncertain about the authenticity of the supposed apparitions there. The director of the Holy See press office, Alessandro Gisotti, said the Holy Father wants to encourage the good fruits that have come from those who have gone to Medjugorje on pilgrimage. But he said this authorization must be accompanied by, quote, care to prevent these pilgrimages from being interpreted as an authentication of known events, which still require examination by the church. Therefore, care must be taken to avoid creating confusion or ambiguity. That's the news on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's 35 past the hour. The Sunrise Morning
Show. Easter is a 50-day season, and what better way to celebrate every single morning than with a cup or two or three of the Mystic Monk's Pasca Java or Easter Sunrise Blend coffee.
And of course, when you link to Mystic Monk Coffee through sunrisemorningshow.com, they give us a commission for sending you to their site.
And how perfect would it be to drink Easter Sunrise Coffee in a Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug? They're just $10 in our online store.
Celebrate all 50 mornings of Easter with special coffee in a special mug. Link to the Mystic Monks and purchase the mug at sunrisemorningshow.com.
What does the church say about original sin? Whatever else one might say about sin, it's the manifestation of a man's use of free will in a way contrary to God's will. Adam and Eve made a choice that was possible only because God permitted it through free will. By their acts, pain and death and misery and every other kind of displeasure would befall the whole human race as sin was brought into the world. But the reality is that the holiness that once was theirs prior to the fall of these first two was also ours by virtue of the parent-child relationship. What they lost, they could not pass on. And so their first sin has placed all of us under a bondage by which Satan seeks to cause us also to abuse the freedom God so lovingly has given each of us. It is only when we willingly choose to abuse that freedom that we take personal responsibility for the effects of original sin. For more information, consult your local pastor or refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 388 through 421. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
Paul Thigpen now joins us as the author of The Biblical Names of Jesus, and we've been going through some of those titles with him on the show, and today we're talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, man. How are you, brother?
Doing great, and, you know, every time Good Shepherd Sunday comes up, there's always the need to explain what a shepherd does, because it's not just some random guy who's making sure that the sheep don't run off a cliff. There's more to shepherding than that.
It's an amazing, you know, role. You when you learn about it, you gain a lot of respect for shepherds. So my goodness, first of all, you know, it's a familiar role. So that's one good reason why the Lord would use it. Its occupation goes back for at least 5,000 years across cultures, and even if you lived in the city, you would have depended on shepherds, known about them, because they would provide wool and meat and milk and cheese and animals for sacrifice. But, sheep, part of it is because of sheep. They would also, you know, care for goats. But the sheep especially were pretty helpless, dumb creatures. They, unlike others, they would, if you take them out, they would have trouble finding their way back home. So they need to be led back home. You didn't keep them in a pen where they would eat in pasture like a cat, you know, a cattle might. Instead, you had to lead them to places to eat. You had to lead them to places to drink. They're basically helpless. They don't have any horns. They don't have, you know, big teeth. So someone had to protect them from all the predators. They aren't too smart. They'll wander off. They'll get into places, you know, on the side of a cliff or something where if they fall, they'll die. Could go on and on, but they need a lot of care. They're caring, high maintenance animals. And so it makes a beautiful image when we think about the Lord caring for us, because we're a lot like sheep.
Yeah, we are dumb and we run off of cliffs and we don't know how to protect ourselves from the evils that surround us. And to be honest, if we see one sheep going in one direction, rather than ask, well, why are they going that direction and is it a good idea to follow them, we all tend to just be like, let's go over there with that guy.
That's right.
You know, I mean, if you've ever seen sheep in action, that's kind of how it goes.
That's right. And so in so many ways, it's such a great image of us. And so that beautiful, you know, the more you learn about shepherds too, especially that beautiful Psalm 23 that most of us have heard since childhood, really comes alive when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even things that a long time ago didn't make sense to me, like, he anoints my head with oil. Why would he do that? Why would he pour oil on my head? Until you find out that sheep are also subject to biting insects, vermin of all kinds, that burrow themselves into their eyes and nose and mouth. And so one of the ways the shepherds would protect them would be to make a mixture with oil and balm and put it all over their heads to protect them from that. And if they had a wound already, it would help it to heal. My cup overflows. You say, okay, well, sheep drink it out of a cup. Well, it turns out they would lead them, the shepherds would lead them to, pond or lake or stream where they could drink. But if there weren't any of those around, then they were dependent on the wells, which often had a trough from the well that would the sheep could drink at. But if there was no trough, the shepherd would take his own cup and put it in the well, fill it up, and give it to each of the sheep.
Yeah, all kinds of images that we just sort of take for granted in the 23rd Psalm. But you know, there's another aspect of this, Paul. You ever go to like a county fair or, a 4-H convention and go through the livestock pen? I mean, I can look at 100 sheep and to me, they all just look like sheep. Like, I can't tell them apart, you know, but the idea when we hear in John's gospel, Jesus saying, you know, that he knows his sheep and his sheep know him, that these are not just like sheep as a group, these are individuals to him.
They are, and they learned his voice. And as you know, Jesus himself says, they won't follow the voice of a stranger. He knows them by look, by temperament. He used to even call a lot of them, you know, by give a name to them, a nickname. And all those ways it suggests, and if you don't know much about, you know, shepherds and sheep, you don't realize it at first, but it actually is talking about a kind of intimacy. Another image for the kind of intimacy the Lord has with us. He knows us by name and individually. He calls us, and if we get to know him and stick with him, then we know his voice, which is so important for, you know, for our lives to know which way to go.
And, of course, we do catch some of this from the accounts of David as a shepherd. You know, when he's trying to put his resume out before he takes on Goliath, that, you know, a shepherd, it's not just making sure that the sheep are fed and watered, but, you know, if a bear or a lion or a wolf or a fox or anything comes, that shepherd is the line of defense. That shepherd is the person who has to stand in the way of danger on behalf of the sheep. So for Jesus to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for the flock, I mean, this is something that shepherds were faced with.
It was, and we have to, you know, realize when in the 23rd Psalm, when it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, the rod, why would the rod comfort them? Because it's what you get protected with. And the staff to help with a little crook on the end of it, you know, to help get them out of difficult places. It's like an extension of the shepherd's arm to pull them out. And so even that beautiful image where the Lord says, I'm the doorway, you know, for them to get through, there's all kinds of stuff behind that, how the shepherd would hold his rod over the entrance to the pen at night and let them come in one by one, and he would lay across there to protect them at night as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Paul Thigpen. Of course, Paul's book is The Biblical Names of Jesus. You can find it linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. That's sonrisemorningshow.com. And Anna, there at the end, he was alluding to Jesus as not just the shepherd, but the gate. We actually hear, of course, yesterday we heard Jesus as the Good Shepherd, but today in the Gospel reading we'll hear at Mass, it'll be from John chapter 10, where Jesus says, again, amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. So not only is he the guy showing us the gate, he is the gate. So it's kind of a different way of saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. So not only am I your goal, I'm also how you get there.
Absolutely. And I mean, that point that you were just making with Dr. Thigpen about the shepherd being the protector of the sheep. Jesus says here, a thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Which we see in other places in the Gospels, don't we, Matt?
We do indeed. And of course, we know that many of you listen to the Sunrise Morning Show on your way to daily Mass in the morning. If you do that, you're required to pray for us at Mass. I don't know if you know this, but this is part of your obligation as a listener to the Sunrise Morning Show. If you head to daily Mass and listen to us on the way, you're required to pray for us.
Yes.
But
please
if you don't,
the Holy Spirit for us.
Right. If you don't make it to daily mass, we hope we at least gave you a little bit of a
tie-in. You're required to pray for us too, even if you don't go to mass.
That is true. I really,
mean,
anybody who
listening is required to pray for us.
It's not optional.
I mean, today's the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Pray a rosary, a decade of the rosary for us. I won't make it too difficult. We won't ask for the entire rosary, just one decade. I always dedicate one decade of my rosary to Sacred Heart Radio, which is our radio station here that produces the Sunrise Morning Show, and the Sunrise Morning Show family, which includes all of our listeners.
Well, there you go. See, we're covering you guys.
Mm-hmm. We pray for you.
I pray for you all every morning.
Every day.
I pray for you, actually. You know when I do my prayers for the Sunrise Morning Show family? I pray for them as I'm looking for the opening prayer I want to use.
Dear God,
I hope
please.
Everybody's doing okay today. Please guide me to something that we can all use together that'll be the right thing for at least one person out there.
And do you know how many times we get emails saying, I loved that prayer, you need to send it to me? Very often. Very often. The Holy Spirit works through these airwaves, not just our show, but definitely through our show. I know
He works through dumb sheep, to extend the analogy.
And we are the dumbest of dumb sheep, aren't we, Matt?
We are indeed.
We are indeed.
Let's invite another dumb sheep on the show. Marlon De La Torre is coming on next.
Wow, he's going to be so...
If he's listening, I hope he heard this whole segment.
And because you're doing this interview, can I just say right now?
Oh, no.
Go Bucks. I'll say it after the break, too.
I bet you will. What should your kids know about their Catholic faith? What's your responsibility as a parent to make sure that they get, if they get nothing else? We'll talk about that with Marla next. It's 14 till.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. SolidarityHealthShare.org.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White has been constructing with knowledge, integrity, and safety. From industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, Boston, Whiting, Indiana, St. Paul and Rochester, Minnesota, and Newcastle, Delaware. For excellent construction service and quality, count on J.J. White Incorporated. 215-722-1000 and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
Have you heard about Lord Teach Me to Pray? Lord Teach Me to Pray is a prayer series based upon the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Training retreats will be held this summer and fall in various parts of the country. Go to lordteachmetopray.com to find a training retreat near you. In this exciting time of the new evangelization, the best way we can share the faith is by strengthening our own relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Lord Teach Me to Pray is sure to be transformative.
Go to lordteachmetopray.com and click on Facilitator Training Retreats.
Now that the warmer months are upon us, perhaps you're in the market for gardening tools, yard supplies, or maybe even looking ahead for your summer reading choices.
No matter what you're in the market to buy, if you are planning on making a purchase at Amazon, don't forget to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
By doing so without spending an extra cent, you're earning us a commission on your purchase price, which helps support our work on the Sunrise Morning Show.
Again, no matter what you plan to buy, don't forget, go to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
12 till, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
Six people, including a priest, have been killed in Burkina Faso when a group of gunmen burned down a Catholic church yesterday. The Catholic Church in Sri Lanka has celebrated Mass for the first time since the deadly suicide bombings on Easter Sunday. And Pope Francis has authorized pilgrimages to Medjugorje while remaining uncertain about the authenticity of the supposed apparitions there, saying there needs to be more study. And by the way, go Bucks.
I know you're saying that for Marlon De La Torre's benefit, but I can only assume that the average listener is, you know,
thinking I'm talking about the Milwaukee Bucks.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
The Ohio State Buckeyes. Go Buckeyes.
Down to the final four in the NBA.
Go Buckeyes.
Go Bucks. Marlon De La Torre is online at knowingisdoing.org. And he is he's a dad and a catechist. He's a dadachist. Good morning, Marlon.
Good morning, Matt. Great to hear you. Great to be here.
So a lot of us parents are thinking we've got to get our kids formed. A lot of us parents are also thinking, well, we don't know exactly how to go about that. And we can overcomplicate these things. But what are some things that our kids have just got to know if they're going to be out in the world saying that they're Catholics?
I think the first premise, if anything, is that any child desires to know that mom and dad love them. And if mom and dad are able to convey that love to them and really in a very sound, simple way where you wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Tom, or good morning, Bill, good morning, Billy. And they begin to really just either praise Christ or make a simple gesture like the sign of the cross or say good morning to our Lord, maybe towards the crucifix, something to that effect, something as simple as that. A 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 50-year-old will see the significance of that because mom and dad are taking the time to do just that in the home. And for any child looking for an identity, which is what they do from the very beginning they're born, that's significant for them because they see mom and dad place first and foremost this attention towards Christ, his attention towards God. And it's as simple as that. Sometimes we think the formality must supersede the simple, and not necessarily so. The simplicity of the faith is what leads to more of a desire for formal instruction or to understand why we believe what we believe. So it does not have to be that complicated.
Yeah, I think that's so important for parents to realize. I know it's something that I've realized is that, you know, whenever there's a moment that I think, oh, this is a teachable moment, I'm going to lay out the instruction and the catechesis, and I'm going to make sure this is, you know, dogmatically sound. It's like glazed over views. But I've found that some amazing things happen if I'm asked a question and I just take the time to respond thoughtfully instead of saying, leave me alone, I got to answer this email.
Correct. I look at it as a very simple way of following through with God's revelation by our own witness to our children. If my daughter, who's my youngest, is 5, and so she'll ask me, Dad, why is Jesus there somewhere at Mass? Or she says, that picture of Jesus, why does he have his hands open? Or why? And I said, honey, he wants to embrace you. He loves you. He did something because he loved you so much that he just wants to know and to show you that he's there with you. And she would say, really? I said, yes, and that he will never leave you. And I said, okay, I get that. That's fine. And they'll be, before I go all Aquinas on her or Augustine, it's that really simple understanding that, Jesus does care for me, and not in a corny way where you typically hear the answer, well, Jesus loves you, and that's the answer for every doctrinal discourse on the planet. No. It's, you know, there is a genuine care, and that's what a child really is looking for, especially for mom and dad. And then if you do that, when you discuss the Blessed Trinity, when the time comes to unwrap the beauty of that doctrine or talk about creation or temptation, they're going to understand the concept and the context from where this is coming from because they've seen Christ exercise in the home in a very direct, intentional, simple way. Most parents that I come across fret that they don't even do that. And I ask them, think of it this way. If you make a simple sign of the cross on the forehead of a child, or you say a simple prayer or do a blessing before meals every day with them, that opens the door. That's all you really need to do.
Yeah. And if it's in this larger context of you living your faith in front of people, you know, Marlon, you know, I work with the Coming Home Network, so I'm surrounded by converts all day or people on the journey. And a lot of us really wrestled and struggled and explored and researched stuff about Mary to try and figure out how do we wrap our heads around and make sure we understand and believe everything before we sign on the dotted line and say, yes, we're going to become Catholic. As parents, I was talking with, actually, I've had this conversation with a number of converts about how we wrestled with those doctrines. And then it's just maddeningly simple to watch how our little kids take to the Mary stuff so naturally, and we want to over-explain it to our kids when all we really have to do is just foster a house where Mary is honored, and they just get it naturally. Without us having to explain, we can explain that stuff later when they've got the capacity for it. But if you just put it out there, it's amazing how quickly they latch onto it.
It is, because they see how a mother through an image resonates in love. They see that more than we do as adults. And for them, it's like that's exactly what they want to see applied, mimicked, practiced, fostered, whatever you want to call it, that in the home. And so marrying dogma, when you talk about the Immaculate Conception, what have you, or you talk about her Assumption, or basically just her perpetual virginity. When you read Luke's Gospel, for example, and I'm glad you brought that up, when I've told my kids in the past, look, all Mary does for you, if there's nothing else you ever remember about her blessed mother, is this, that she sees you as the most important human being in her life, where she wants to make sure that you know that her son loves you, and that she will always make sure you are fed, bar none. And they get that. They actually do. And before I get into anything specific, all of them, all four of my kids, from my 20-year-old down to my 5-year-old, that they've seen that reality, that there's a mother that cares. And that sticks with them. Whether they pray the rosary or not, they understand what her role is.
Yeah, these are all important and key things. Marlon De La Torre, you've got an article called What Should My Child Know About His Catholic Faith? And you've actually got like a short list of, looks like 10 or 12 points of things that it's important that they, before they leave your house as, you know, grown-ups, should get. And I would encourage people to check that out. It's at sunrisemorningshow.com. That's sonrisemorningshow.com. It'll link you straight through to Marlon's website, knowingisdoing.org. Thanks so much, Marlon, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Matt, thank you very much. And Annie, go Bucks.
I see. I was hoping that when Annie
That's
turned
my boy.
This interview over to me, we would stop. Okay.
That's my boy.
I can't
right
stop the I
Go
can't
Bucks,
stop
Marlon.
Buckeye
Go Bucks.
Nation. Well, that wraps it up for a Monday morning. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Matt Swaim. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.